about how God takes ordinary people and does extraordinary things. We looked at someone like Noah, and God allowed him to do something extraordinary, not because he was some type of great carpenter, but instead because he was obedient. And we looked at different Bible characters, and we've looked at Nehemiah, we've looked at Caleb, we've looked at just a ton of different people that were ordinary people that God could use in a special way just by them being faithful. This morning, we're going to go away from the series a little bit. We actually might be done with the series. There is a couple other people that we could talk about. But this morning, I'd like to talk a little bit about our prayer lives and understanding about where what it happens, or as you can see up there, what it reveals about us. This past summer, we spent that 40-day challenge looking at saying, okay, how our Bible reading, our praying, keeping a journal and things like that. We talked about that on Wednesday nights about developing our Bible study a little bit. But what prayerlessness really reveals about an individual. If I talk to people, I think people that really are spiritually minded would say two things. Prayer is such an important thing, and it's key for a Christian walk. Second thing that they'll say is, I don't do it enough. I wish I did it more. I wish I had a better prayer life. And sometimes we've become in our Christian lives because we are not very disciplined. The average Christian does not have a very effective prayer life. They try. They start. Maybe on a 40-day challenge, we start it. But they fail. And many times after a while, they stop. And their prayer becomes maybe a general blessing. Maybe something they do at the time of food. Maybe a public prayer, like during church services when everybody else is praying or when you're called on to pray. But the prayer life itself, the intimate time alone with God, is something that does not flow very easy or very freely. And the devil fights that. He fights our prayer time quite a bit. So tonight, or this morning, I'd like to look at just some different things that prayerlessness reveals about an individual. And some of them might not be the easiest to hear. And some of the lessons, some messages, some sermons are fun. Some are easy to listen. Some are easy to say, well, that's good. But this is one that's hopefully going to help us set our hearts ready to understand how much we need God. John chapter number 6. Here Jesus has been, he was teaching. He had just done some great miracles. And the people were following him. And Jesus kind of thins out the group by just telling them what it means to be a disciple. What it truly means to be a believer. In John chapter number 6, we'll start in verse number 61. John chapter 6, verse 61, he's speaking to a large multitude that has been following him. He gave even the accusation, the reason why you're following him wasn't just for the teaching or because of the miracles, but because he had fed them and they were looking to be physically fed again. John chapter 6, verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Said, what, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And he was trying to get them to understand these people were following him in multitudes because they wanted to be fed physically, taken care of physically. And he says, look, our flesh profiteth nothing. And he says in verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. And there was inside the group, those that who truly never even believed who Jesus was, they were just there for the show. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he's talking about Judas there, but he's also talking about inside the multitude, the group that did not believe. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So it came a time when they realized and they said, we don't need this. This is just too much. They had followed Jesus. They had seen Jesus' miracles. They had said he was the true Messiah, that he was somebody worthy of following. And when Jesus told them some things they did not like, it was, hey, I don't need this anymore. And the amazing thing is when we talk, and these people are called disciples. They are called disciples in the idea that they believed in him to some point. They thought he was worthy of following. They knew he was something special because of the miracles. But they said, if it means being a Christian or a believer to have all this, this what it means to be a disciple of Christ, it's not worth it to me. Let's keep on going. And it says, verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12. So it says that many had left, but usually the 12 were the closest around him. And he looks to the 12 that he's teaching and training. And remember, one of them is Judas, and one of them is not a believer. And he says unto the 12, he says, will ye also go away? He says, are you going to leave me too? Verse 67, verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So what interests me in this passage, and it's just a jumping off point in this topical message, you know, he asked them, you know, are you going to leave too? And Peter asks and responds, where shall we go? Let's have a word of prayer and ask God to help us in this morning's message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the people that are here. Lord, I pray that this morning's message fall on good ground. And Lord, that we open up our hearts and minds to what our spiritual life is really truly like. Lord, prayerlessness is something that so many people struggle with. So many people don't develop that prayer life, and then they become self-dependent. But God, as we see in this passage of Scripture, Peter's saying, well, who else are we going to go to? There is only one God. And there is nowhere else to turn. And help us to see and want to develop and increase our prayer time, especially as we come up to our special meetings and we're looking and trying to draw closer to you and trying to seek you. Help us to understand that prayer time is such a key, important part of that. Speak to people's hearts, Lord. We pray for all the classes that are going on, from the young to the old, all throughout the building today, that, Lord, you would bless the classes as they rightly divide the word of truth. Not only here, Lord, at Faith Baptist Church in Elizabeth City, but, Lord, we ask that you bless the different ministries across the world, not only in our state and our country, but across the world that's rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a lot of people out there today trying to serve you, and, Lord, we want you to give them fruit for their labors. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to teach you something to begin with that is really simple and really easy that most of us would say, of course we know that, and of course we agree with that. Same thing that Peter said to Jesus, to whom shall we go? He was saying, there is nobody else to turn to. And then he goes on and saying that we believe that thou, and are sure in verse 69, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In verse 68, he says, thou hast the words of eternal life. So what are you getting at? The only way you're going to get to heaven, the only hope that the disciples had, and they understood this, was through Jesus Christ. They said, hey, Jesus is there, and the fair-weather believers or fair-weather disciples had left him. They didn't like what he was saying. And he turns to his followers, the ones that he was training, the ones that were going to change the world, and he says to them, will you leave also? And Peter, who is the spokesman, speaks up and says, who else are we going to turn to? We know, and it says, are sure. He says, you have the words of eternal life. And if you truly are a born-again Christian today and a believer, you had to come to this realization at some point in time in your life that there is only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus was the only one that could get to heaven through. It's the truth. But when you come to this spot, our prayer life, we're just as dependent on God in our everyday life, just as we are when it comes to our spiritual home someday in eternity. We need Jesus Christ to get to heaven, but we also need him day by day by day. And when a person begins to struggle in their prayer life, there's something that's going to reveal about them. And these are just a few things I'd like for you to think about and ponder. Our desire, and one of our biggest days of the year, is our friend day. We begin to seek God and ask God. Here's the interest that we have, is to invite people to come so people can come to know Christ. But the only way that you can have a successful friend day or successful anything is when we bathe it in prayer. But sometimes many Christians today and believers come to the point where they don't pray like they should. They do everything else, but prayer is something that's only between you and God. And in that prayer that's only between you and God, since he's the only one that sees it, we sometimes, we stray in that. we don't see the importance. So here's a couple things. Hopefully it will be a helping and blessing to you that what prayerlessness reveals. Because I know I've sat where you've sat before. I've sat in a pew and not been very faithful in my prayer time and thought I was okay. But what it revealed about myself and what it reveals about us is, number one, I guess I should turn it on. There it goes. Number one, it's going to work. Maybe not. So Mr. Cartwright, it doesn't want to work. There you go. So the first thing is, what it reveals is that when a person is a prayerless life, reveals a person is more convinced of his own abilities than his need for the presence and power of God. He's more convinced of his own abilities than his need for his presence and power of God. So you got it there now up there. Let's see. Still doesn't want to. I don't know if it's deprogrammed. It might be the battery or something. If you want to sit there, I'll just tell you. That'd be great. So the Bible tells us something in John chapter 15, verse number 5. This is speaking about abiding with Christ, means relaxing and settling in a relationship with him. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That last phrase is something that many Christians don't like to believe. The Bible says, for without me, ye can do nothing. We like to think, okay, I can do certain things. Surely I can maybe raise my kids. Maybe I can be the right wife, the right husband. I can be the right church member. Even some people like to think, hey, I can be the right Sunday school teacher, or I can be the right employee. I can do this or that. But what the Bible is saying here is that spiritually wise, Jesus is telling, look, I am needed in this, in your life. And your spiritual life, if you're going to bring forth fruit, if you're going to accomplish anything at all, he says, for without me, ye can do nothing. We don't like that because sometimes we're thinking, okay, I'm right with God. Okay, I can accomplish these things. But what Jesus is teaching these same disciples that he just spoke to earlier in the passage is, look, you need me. And our prayer life is something that teaches us. Jesus was clear in John chapter 15, verse 5, that without him and abiding in him, we could do nothing. You know what? People can preach sermons. People can, they can make visits. They can do all types of things without ever praying. And that's the dangerous thing. People can live their lives and they can speak. They make financial decisions. They make parenting decisions. They make career choices. They make college selections. They choose who they want to marry without even knowing the mind of God at all. And the Bible's saying here, spiritually speaking, we need God's help. We cannot accomplish what God wants us to do without him. You can do nothing without him. But there comes a point if you're saying, hey, I don't need to pray. I don't need to do what the Bible says, pray without ceasing. I don't need to spend time alone with God. It's when a person reveals this truth. They think that because of their own ability and their own strengths, they do not need the presence and power of God. It's when we say, I know I need him. I know I'm dependent upon him. I know that without him, I can do nothing, that we fall to our face and we fall to our knees and say, God, I need you. But when we come to our own strengths and our own abilities, that's when we don't pray. You might say, of course I pray some, but do you pray like you need him? Remember the story of Joshua. We talked about him last week a little bit. He enters into the promised land. He gets there and they have this great battle and great victory over Jericho. They go and they march around the seven times on the seventh day and everything falls down. They had this great victory. And just down the road, there's a little country. Anybody remember what the name of it was? Ai, that's right. And what happens at Ai? They lose the battle. But why? It's because Joshua never prayed. You know, in Jericho with the huge walls, they were completely dependent. They didn't know how they were going to accomplish that. But when they saw this great victory, when they saw this great battle, and they come over there, oh, there's just a little country. Let's just send a few thousand men over there. Everything should be fine. Everything should be good. What happens? They lose some of their men. Just a little bit later down the road, the Gibeonites come and they pretend to be something they're not. They pretend to be from this far-off country. And because Joshua did not take the time to pray, and the leaders did not take the time to pray, they thought, hey, in our own reasoning, with our own ability, we can make this decision. We don't need help with Ai. We don't need help with the Gibeonites. We think we know what's best. And prayerlessness is something that shows that they did not ask the counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And even though men and women may have great talent, they might have great ability that God's given them, they cannot accomplish anything. I'm not saying accomplish great things. I'm saying they're not able to accomplish what the Bible says, do nothing without that. So what does it boil down to? Are we depending on our own strength? Do we think we can handle everything? And you say, Pastor, you mean I'm completely dependent upon God? That's what the scripture teaches us. He's one that wants to lead us in God. He says, lean not onto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. And when a person is not praying like they should, we've come to this realization, I think I can handle it myself. And once again, this is straightforward. Do you pray like you should? Because what prayerlessness really reveals to you is that you think that you're able to handle things on your own. Just like Joshua at the battle of Ai, just like Joshua with the Gibeonites, there came to the realization he didn't think he needed God, but in all reality, he needed God more than ever when it's something small. When we pray and seek, God gives us direction and leadership. Next thing prayerlessness reveals about us is... It's coming. There you go. It reveals a person's desire may be carnal rather than spiritual, even if they're religious. You think about it, the Pharisees, back in Bible times, Jesus' times, they were religious. People would follow them. They would look up to them. They would cross over to the other side of the road because they knew they shouldn't be near them. They were very, very religious, but they were very, very carnal at the same time. The Bible says in 1 John 5:14-15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So now it went all the way away. There we go. Hey, it actually works now. There we go. Thank you, Mr. Cartwright. We desire God to bless our ministries. We desire God to bless our businesses. We ask God to bless our families. But even religious work sometimes can have carnal motives. The desire to be known, the desire for success in the world's eyes, the desire for the applause of men are strong incentives for some people. Remember what we talked about last week, the sincerity of serving God? Why do we serve him? What is the purpose behind it? Are we trying to serve him because we sincerely love him and care about him? What the scripture is saying here, we can be confident of this. If we ask anything according to, and here's the point, his will. Our theme for this year is to delight in the Lord. And the Bible says, if we delight in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. And you say, Pastor, I don't get all the desires my heart met. Everything I wish, everything I desire, it doesn't always come. It's because some of the times what we're praying for is not inside of his will, but instead is something that's carnal. And what a prayerless person is going to reveal about themselves is, number one, they have great trust in their own ability, but also that they're carnally minded. If we're spiritually minded, it's something that we're going to be going to God and we're going to have confidence because we're asking things according to his will. We're not asking things according to our desires and our will. Yes, there are certain things we'd like to have accomplished because it's obvious would make things easier for us. Many times when people ask me, will you pray for me that I get this new job? And so what do we pray? We pray for God's will. Now, not every new job is expected for every single person because it's not always God's will. And it would be better to be in God's will with the old job than be out of God's will with the new job. And it's what are we seeking in our life? Are we seeking for our own good? Are we seeking for our own greatness? Or are we seeking for God's glory? Because it says, if we know that he hears us, and we know that God hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Meaning that our prayers are there, and they're before God, and they are something that if God is willing, that's what we want. But if God is not willing, that's what we don't want. Let's think about it this way. You ever want to buy something really bad? I have. I don't know about you. I'll just be honest. I've been carnally minded before in my life. If there's something I really, truly want, you know, I should pray about it. Especially, you know, little things, big things, whatever. Sometimes there's been a car or something that's big that I might like or want. And I would pray, but I would pray kind of faintly in the idea so I could say, okay, I prayed about it. That doesn't really, that's not spiritually minded. That's being carnally minded. And when we truly do not seek the face of God, you know what we're doing? we're seeking our own heart's desire. What prayerlessness teaches us is, hey, I care more about my own feelings and my own flesh and my own desires than I care about what God wants. Remember, it's praying according to his will. It's praying that if I had the same desires that God wants for me, I'm going to be happy what he wants. If I delight in the Lord, if I delight in his things, delight in his will, then he's going to give me the desires of my heart. You say, I don't always get the desires of my heart. It's because sometimes we're looking for those carnal things. We're not looking for things that are spiritually minded. Next thing I want you to think about, prayerlessness. If you don't have the right prayer life, it's many times because of the fact that we trust our own abilities or we're more interested in being carnally minded than spiritually minded. But think about it. It also becomes that we've become accustomed to God's blessing, that they have become complacent and asking God for his continued blessing. We become complacent. Now, you think about it. We live in a day and time that I think most of us agree, especially with this age group, most people feel like they're entitled. We live in an entitled type society. They feel like they're owed something. They feel like everything that they have, they should get. And as you see these younger people, and sometimes millennials, they want everything that their parents or grandparents have, you know, now instead of waiting, and they feel like they should have free college, and they should have free health care, and they should have this, and there's an entitlement. And that's what the world's trying to teach you, and that's what some politicians are trying to tell you. You deserve all this. You should expect all this. But how about in our own Christian lives? When we forsake praying and when we forsake and become prayerless in our day-to-day lives, we come to the spot where we say, I've come so accustomed to the blessing of God that I've become complacent that I don't need to ask him for the future things. I've become accustomed to the fact that God's blessed me. I come accustomed that I got a Christian home. I've become accustomed that I go to a good church. I've become accustomed to all the different things God has provided for me. And I just think that God's going to keep on doing it, and God's going to keep on doing it, and God's going to keep on doing it. We become complacent. But in all reality, we should be seeking God for every area of our lives. The Bible even says, give us this day our daily bread. It's talking about the most basic, minute needs of our lives is something that comes from God, and it's a blessing of God, and we should be saying, Lord, help provide this for me. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. If we would listen as David saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, not just a portion of it, all of me, bless his holy name. Bless, O Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. If we would begin to consider all the benefits that God has given us, a home in heaven, the opportunity for prayer, the opportunity to read his Bible, the opportunity to come to church, the opportunity to have a measure of health, there is just a long list before we begin to add on things like the house we have and the vehicle we have and the food that we have and the families that we have. All those things are add-ons. We can just start off with the basics of the benefits that God gives us as a believer. But when we say, I don't need to pray, I don't need to get before God alone, I don't need to take that time, we're saying I'm depending on my own strength. I don't care that I am carnally minded, because a person who is spiritually minded is going to be a person seeking God. I want my way, not God's way. But I've become accustomed to the blessing that God has given us. We forget that the further blessing is dependent upon our express dependence upon God. When Israel entered into the promised land, it talked about how they received a land that had already had cities. They already had olive groves. They already had wells. They already had blessings beyond all means. But what happened with Israel was they forgot about God. They stopped seeking him. By the wall of Jericho, they're begging God for help because of the fact they need him. But as they enter into the promised land and God has given them such a great area of this land, they become complacent. They don't say, God, we need your continued protection. God, we need your continued work on me. God, we need your continued blessing on my life. They forget God. They turn their back on God. And then, as we see in the book of Judges, God gives them over to a nation over and over. You think back in Bible times where Jesus talked about that parable about the rich farmer who had great crops, and he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to tear down all my stuff. I'm going to build something that was bigger, and I'm going to be happy for the rest of my life. But what happened there is he became accustomed to getting the good things from God. Sometimes our world crashes around us and we start begging to God, God, I need you, please help us here. We become accustomed. Every single day we need to say, God, you know what? I need your blessing today. Thank you for helping me yesterday. Thank you for keeping me safe. Thank you for providing for my needs yesterday. God, I need that again today. Don't come accustomed just because God has been good to us in the past. Let us not think I'm going to live off those things in the past. Let's look forward to the future. Just because maybe God has blessed before in the past in a friend day. I remember that year when Dr. Comfort was here. I think there was like 8 people saved that Sunday morning, and we praise the Lord for that. But we don't want to live off those. We don't become complacent. You know why people got saved that day? It's because people worked and people brought visitors and people prayed and people sought God. Let's not be complacent just because he's blessed us before in the past. When we stop praying, we say, okay, God, I think you're still going to bless us even if we don't pray. We're missing the whole point. It's not about us. It's about what prayer can do through us. So let's look at the next one. It reveals a prayerlessness will also reveal a person has become self-sufficient, that he no longer feels obligated to offer God thanksgiving for his present help. Now, I know these are long things. I know some of you might be writing down. Usually our main points are 4 or 5 words or 3 words, but there's a point that's coming on here. We become self-sufficient. We no longer feel obligated to offer God thanksgiving for his present help. Don't just live in the past. When you stop praying, not only do you say, hey, I got this. I don't need you, God. I don't care if it's carnally minded. You've blessed me before. You're going to bless us again. It makes us stop being thankful. It's amazing how quickly we forget God is the source of our future blessings, and not render him thanks for the present blessings or even the past. Ingratitude is a sinful disease of our day. And today, many of us live in that generation where people are not viewing themselves as the recipient of God's grace, but instead recipients of things that they deserve. Remember what grace is. It's unmerited favor. We don't deserve these things. But it's because of the grace of God and his abundant and amazing grace that is new every morning that we can gladly express our thanksgiving to him. When we can go for days without even considering all his benefits, we become an unthankful people. I know this generation is known for being thankful. This generation that I'm speaking to and teaching to is something that thankfulness, hearing a person say thank you, is something that has been taught you. I don't know if you have the same problems with some kids or grandkids, but nowadays there aren't people who say thank you very often. Sometimes writing a thank you note is something of the past. It's a text now, which I don't think there's anything wrong with. It's the new generation. They send an email or even just saying the words thank you. Yeah, lots of times when you give kids out things at snack time, there might be one or two that say thank you, but not very often anymore. Why is that? They're coming to this realization that they think they deserve it. But how about you in your Christian life? If you say, I don't need to pray. I know we always talk about how to be a better prayer warrior. We've talked often about how to pray. We even went through that, how to spend an hour in prayer, the hour that changes the world, all those different things. We've gone through all that. But when's the last time we've taken time? And I'm not just saying thank you for your food. And that's important. I think we should all pray. But that sometimes becomes a general thing that we just do over and over. But how many times do we take time to say, God, thank you for all these benefits? Where does the Bible tell us to do that? It says it right here. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Some people say, if I knew exactly what God's will was, I would do it in a second. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. If you tell me what God's will is, then I'll do it. It's right here. There's a few spots in the Bible that's just very plain. I know God's will sometimes is different for other people. You know, sometimes God calls you into a ministry. Sometimes God calls you to do this or God calls you to do that. God always calls us to be faithful, but he says, I want you to be thankful. If we come to a spot where we say, I don't really need to pray as much. I don't really need to spend time alone with God. You're saying that, hey, I don't need to be thankful. And last but not least, not only do we come to a point where we're self-sufficient, where we no longer feel obligated to offer God's thanksgiving, we come to a spot where we say he's not worthy of our praise either. It reveals a person who has lost the wonder of God's grace and no longer feels compelled to praise him. As I was going through my devotions this week, and I love verses like this. Let the heaven and the earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. And the reality, the world does praise him, and the idea of the earth and how everything as it moves, it speaks to the glory of God and the praise of God, how everything is so wonderfully made and how it's made with such great majesty. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. But when we stop praying, and I'm not saying anybody in this room struggles with their prayer life. I know that there's been times in my past I want to pray better. I want to do more. I want to understand more. But when I say and have the audacity and the arrogance to say, I don't need to pray, you're saying, I don't need to spend time praising God. And the scripture, it tells us, let the heavens and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. It comes to the point where we need to be compelled to pray him, praise him. You had to come and hear a sermon about, man, how great God is. And then in the end, maybe during invitation time, you say, oh, God, you are good, and you praise him for a minute. But it should be a daily thing. Remember in our clock or our hour with the Lord, the first thing we should do is we praise him. The first thing we do is we learn something about him. First thing we do is we see him high and lifted up. We see that he is, we find maybe one characteristic or one attribute that is just something that is amazing and great. And then we spend some time just being thankful. I was in the Psalms this morning in my devotions, and it talked about the psalm was asking, and I don't remember what chapter it was. I think it was 79. The psalmist was saying, has the mercy of God ran out? So my praise this morning was the fact that God's mercy hasn't ran out. And they were asking because they were going through difficult times and hard times. And he was asking questions like, you know, is this it? Is God done with me? Is God over? Is the mercy of God finished? And I praise him because it's not. And if you would take time to get into your scriptures and learn who God is, he is so worthy of our praise. He's so worthy of our honor. We're going to spend all eternity praising him. We should get used to it here in this world and in this earth. And we come to the spot when we say, I don't need to pray, praise him. I do not need to pray. We lost the wonder of God. We lost what God's done for us. What God's done for us in salvation. We get used to a lot of things in life. We get used to our husbands and our wives. I'm sure I take my wife for granted at times. And we get used to our churches, and we get used to the people that we're around. But we should never get used to the incredible sacrifice what Jesus Christ did for us. It ought to be amazing to us, even, I don't know how many years you've been saved, but even 50 years later, it should still amaze us what he did for us. But when we say, I don't need to pray, and now we probably would never do that with our mouths. I'm talking about with our actions. We might raise our hands and say, yeah, I pray. Of course we pray. Of course we need to. But when we don't take time to pray, when we don't make it a purposeful thing we do day after day, it reveals something to us. We say we don't need to praise him anymore. He's not worthy of our praise. He's not worthy of our thanks. He's blessed us before. He's going to bless us again whether we pray or not. That's where Israelites got in trouble. We learned that our minds become carnal instead of spiritual. And we learned that we trust in our own abilities more than we trust in God's abilities. So what do we learn from this? I don't know why God had led me to speak on this, but I think there's probably somebody in the room, if not some people, that could help use some help in their prayer lives. Because many times we've justified, oh, I prayed yesterday, or I don't have time, or my short rituals that I do is enough. But what prayerlessness shows us and demonstrates to us is, number one, we trust in our own abilities. Number two, I don't mind being carnally minded, because the way we become spiritually minded is through him and through his word and through prayer. We learn about God. We understand about God. As we prayerfully go through his word, it reminds us of truth, and it teaches us to be spiritually minded instead of be carnally minded. If we feed ourselves of a bunch of junk all throughout the week and just spend a little bit of time alone with God, you know what's going to happen? We're going to become thinking like them instead of thinking like God wants us to think. We forget to be thankful. We forget that the blessing of God is dependent upon our prayer time. We got to realize, I want God to bless. I want God to move. I want God to help my family. I want God to help my church. I want God to help my country. Do we pray? And last but not least, we forget how much we need to praise him. As you spend time thinking about him, you truly spend time alone with him. It is something that you will learn that he's worthy of our praise. And we need to take time to just say, Lord, I'm thankful. But Lord, you're worthy. Let everything that moveth therein, talking about the earth, and I think that would be us. We move in the earth. Let him praise the Lord. So as we've been building up and considering Wednesday nights, you know, our devotion life, our 40-day challenge, and things about our prayer lives, this is just an idea. If you still think, I don't really need to pray, I'm good, why do I need to spend time alone with God? What's the importance of that? It reveals that you're trusting in your own ability. It reveals that you're carnally minded. It reveals that we're not thankful like we should. We're not trusting in God for future blessings. And we don't think God deserves to be praised, because all those things together have a portion of what our prayer life should look like. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I know that our prayer lives are something that most, if not all, have struggled with before in the past. God, we need you. Just like Peter at the beginning says, now, who are we going to turn to? You're the ones that have the words of eternal life. We know that you're the Christ, and we're sure of that. And Lord, I think every person in this room would realize and say, yes, we need Christ to get to heaven. But it just doesn't stop there. Our day-by-day walk with you, we need you so much. Help us to speak to our hearts about our prayer lives. If there's something that you need to convict us about, something that we need to work on, Lord, pinpoint that. Put your finger on it in our heart. Help us to see and grow that we are in need of you. Help us not to depend upon ourselves. Help us to not be carnally minded. Help us not expect blessings just because you've helped us before in the past. Help us to be thankful because you deserve to be thanked, Lord, and it's your will. Lord, help us to remember that you are deserving of all praise and honor and glory. God, let our own hearts reveal unto us, with your help, if we're really truly prayerless people. And Lord, if we struggle some in this area, speak to our hearts about how to get better at it. Lord, help us to be those prayer warriors people talked about. But in the least, let us be honest with ourselves and say, do I pray like I should? And allow you to work in our heart and lives about the changes that we need to make. Looking forward to what God's going to do in our hearts in the service here in just a few minutes. But we shouldn't just assume, God, that you're going to bless. But Lord, you tell us to cast our cares upon you. Lord, you tell us to go before you. Lord, this is something that's spiritual, and we need your help. We need your blessing. We need your power. We need your presence. And help us to pray like that. Just not come accustomed to what the things you've done before. Help us not to live off of yesterday's blessings. But pray like we need you. That we can't do it without you. Because that's what the truth is. We need you and we can't. Lord, help the service to follow. Help our special days in just upcoming weeks. In Jesus' name, amen.